All right, turn to Revelation chapter 1. You guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Verse 1. A revelation by Yeshua, Messiah, which Elohim, God, gave him to show his servants things that must happen soon. And he made known when he sent by his messenger to his servant John, who testified what he saw, the word of God and the testimony of Yeshua Messiah. Blessed is the one who reads and are those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep the things that have been written in it, for the time is near. Y'all catch all that? Okay, so, what's the name of this book in your Bible?
Revelation.
Okay. I have it on the board. That word in Greek, which is, this is where this is taken from, is in the red.
Oh.
Who wants to try and...
Apocalypsos.
Huh?
Apocalypsos.
Apocalypsos. That's the Greek, okay?
Excuse me, right?
It's right there.
What do you say?
Apocalypsos.
No, I can't read that.
Oh, you can't read that.
A... A what?
Spell it for her.
P... O... C A L O P S O U S. Okay? Anybody ever did a concordance in their Bible before? Everyone ever looked up a word in your Bible and a concordance and try to find it where else it is in your Bible? Yeah?
Revelation?
Huh?
You mean the word revelation?
No, the word apocalypsos. Yeah, has anyone ever done it with that word before? No? Yeah, one person? If you want to understand what's going on in the book of Revelation, that's probably a good place to start, so you understand what that is. Because if you don't, you're going to be taken down a rabbit hole with movies called The Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And things of that sort. Because in their definition of the apocalypse, what does it typically lead to?
The apocalypse.
Destruction, the end of the world, which has nothing to do with that word. Okay? You look up that word apocalypsos. That word means to reveal or to uncover.
Are you done eating your food?
Has anyone ever came up to you and said, David, I need to tell you something about what you're doing. Something about yourself. Has anyone ever had that before, where someone had to have a conversation where they'd say, I need to tell you what you're doing? Anyone ever had that before?
I had a total stranger sit next to me and said, the Lord's given me a word for you.
Okay, but that's different. This here is where you're acting in such a way where someone has to address you about your character. What they're about to do is give you an apocalypsos about yourself.
A revelation.
Yeah, a revelation about yourself.
Hmm.
Okay? Have you ever had to do that to someone else? Where you had to sit down with somebody and tell somebody, hey.
Your children.
This, your children. Let me tell you what you're doing. And you're telling them what they're doing from your perspective rather than from their perspective. Okay? You and I, from the very beginning of your Bible, were created in what?
God's image.
God's image. What does that mean? You're supposed to represent Him here on earth, right? Who here is supposed to be a Christian or a messianic, right? That means like you're supposed to walk like Christ or walk like Messiah. You're supposed to be a reflection of him. You're supposed to be an apocalypsos of him. You're supposed to reveal who he is to the world. So you are supposed to be a walking, talking apocalypsos. Revelation to the world of who your God is. You and I are supposed to be that. This word is used hundreds of times in your Bible. Not just in this book. Okay? So all he's going to do, whoever this is yet, we haven't got to who it is. He's going to give an unveiling or an uncovering of Yeshua Messiah. Check this out. This is interesting. Read the first paragraph for me. And who is this person getting the word from?
Oh, God.
No.
Yeshua.
He's getting it from Yeshua, okay? So, Julie's jumping ahead. And she tells you it's John. He's getting it from a guy named Yeshua. Okay? And who's Yeshua getting it from?
His father.
Or, I just said God. Put it that way. Okay? And is John the ultimate person to receive this, or is it supposed to go to someone else? It's going to go to someone else. Look at this chain. Chain mail here.
I see him.
Right? This is going to go to the congregation. Okay. You guys like chain mail?
No.
So I'm going to give you, I'm going to uncover or reveal something to you that Yeshua gave to me that he got from his father. Okay? And when are these things going to happen?
Soon.
Say that again?
Soon.
Say it loud.
Soon.
Soon. Okay? All this is supposed to happen soon. Meditate on that. Okay? Because you came here, most people come to Revelation as the apocalypse is not soon for them, but it's the end of the world. This letter is saying soon. Okay? And he made known when he sent by his messenger to his servant, who again? John, right? Who testified what he saw, the word of God, and the testimony of Yeshua Messiah. Blessed is the one who reads and are those who hear the words of this prophecy. Who knows what a prophecy is? Not necessarily. All the prophecy is a person heard from God, and he's going to reveal what he heard. Whether it's something about the past, or the present, or the future, it's just a message that someone got from God for you. And it doesn't have to be about the future. It can be about something from the past, right? Okay? So the things that have been written in it, for the time is what?
Near.
When?
Near.
Soon.
Oh, interesting. So we have soon, and we also have near. Okay? So what if I wrote Megan a letter saying, oh, Megan, like, it's all going to be over for you soon and near.
Next week.
But then David reads that letter I wrote to her. 200 years later, we're already gone. Me and Megan are already gone. David reads it and he's telling everyone, look, it's over for us because it says soon and near for us. You catching where I'm going? Okay, so keep reading. Verse 4 says, John, or actually the whole apocalypse thing, yeah. Reveal or uncover. So that's probably the first step you have to do in this, because you guys know that John did not title this letter Revelation, right?
Right.
He did not title that. Mm-hmm. A translator hundreds, maybe thousands of years later, thousand years later, did that. Okay? So it's not titled Revelation. That someone else did that. It was just a letter. Okay? Verse 4. John, to who? Yeah, to the seven congregations which are in Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who was, the one who is coming, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. From Yeshua Messiah, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of earth. Okay? There's a lot in that too. So, he's writing to who?
Seven churches.
So that guy is writing to seven congregations.
Cool. You want me to take it?
Yeah. I'll take it.
And where are these seven congregations at?
Asia.
And on a map, they're like this close to each other. In one little tiny thing. They're like each 20 miles from each other. They're pretty...
Really?
Yeah, they're pretty close to each other. Okay, in one little province of Rome. Rome owned this place at that time. Okay, they ruled that place. So he's writing to seven congregations in Asia Minor. Notice who's not there. Corinth is not there. Thessalonica is not there. Right? You're going to see some of these guys. They didn't get those letters. Oh, okay. We'll keep reading. Sorry. Okay.
John.
Okay.
Wait.
John.
Who are the seven spirits in front of the throne?
Oh, okay. Yes. So, from the one from the seven spirits before his throne. Okay. So, seven spirits. Miss Viola.
Hi, how are you?
Good, you?
Hello.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, Viola.
Will you take my two, honey? So the flies will leave us alone, maybe.
So, yeah, where did the seven spirits come from?
Did you eat dinner?
We had a bite coming in.
Huh?
There's cake, too.
Okay. But I thought there was only one spirit.
Delicious.
Oh, you want to eat.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I didn't make it, but it's really good.
So,
I'm interrupting the...
No, you're good.
Sorry. Okay.
Yes, we got a brand new one.
Yay.
So, this is John to the seven congregations in Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, was, the one who's coming, and from the seven spirits before the throne, before his throne. And from Yeshua Messiah, the faithful witness, firstborn from the dead, ruler of the kings of earth. So he's telling him, grace and peace to you from Yeshua Messiah and from the seven spirits. So John's like, yeah, there's the seven spirits before his throne. They say, grace and peace to you. And Yeshua Messiah says the same thing. How are you doing, sweetie?
Good, how are you?
You're doing well, thank you. So, does anyone have an answer for Tanya? Where are the seven spirits? Where did that come from? Okay, well, that's an easy answer. Yes, it came from God.
Huh? I would just assume, since they correlate the numbers the same, that maybe there's spirits that govern or watch over each congregation.
So, there's... Go ahead, Ms. Fine.
The seven spirits of God. Is that what you're asking?
She wants to know, yeah, it says, what are the seven spirits which are before his throne? Because it says, from Yeshua Messiah, this letter's from him, to these congregations, and from the seven spirits before his throne.
Is it from the menorah?
What do you ask?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't just say one spirit. I just say the seven spirits. So what spirits are they?
Oh, you need them all.
That's Isaiah 11.
Wisdom.
Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10.
All the
righteous.
From the Torah.
It tells you the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge. Yeah. But, I mean, really meditate on that, though. It's pretty interesting, right?
Hi.
How many days of creation were there?
Seven.
Understanding, right?
How many total days?
Seven.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And the menorah is made out of?
Seven branches.
And Isaiah 11 tells you that there's seven spirits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this Holy Spirit is like seven in one. Like, you guys ever heard the name Elizabeth before?
Yeah.
In Hebrew, it's Elisheva. Eli, El means God. Sheva can mean oath or promise, but numerically, Sheva is seven.
The God of seven.
So God is seven. Her name can say God is seven.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have Shabbat and Sheva. Shabbat, Sheva. Mm. So God is seven.
Mm.
Right? So throw that into your Trinity thing, into the mix. It gets really interesting.
Okay.
But, so... Tanya, am I even close to answering your question?
Can you name them all?
I can't remember.
Can I name them all? Oh, man.
Wisdom,
now she's...
knowledge, understanding.
Woo! Government. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel. What else? Help me out here.
Wisdom.
No. Seven spirits.
Isn't government?
No. The seven spirits was wisdom,
knowledge,
understanding,
counsel, understanding.
Power. Yeah, knowledge, what else? And the Spirit of the Lord, that's just the regular one. And the fear of the Lord, spirit of the fear of the Lord, reverence. There you go. She's testing me.
Was that all seven? I'm missing one.
And then Holy Spirit would be seven, right?
No.
Yeah, so one of them is Spirit of the Lord.
Like the middle.
Is the middle one. And then you have wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord.
Is reverence, fear of the Lord the same?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is reverence and fear of the Lord the same?
Yeah, fear and reverence are the same. Okay?
Do they have to go in order? I wrote them out of order.
No, they don't have to go in order.
Because I only have five.
Wisdom? Understanding? Knowledge. Understanding. There you go. Okay? So it's from... Grace and peace comes from those seven spirits before the throne. They come from Yeshua Messiah, the faithful witness. Okay? Firstborn from the dead, that's from Psalms 89:28, and the ruler of the kings of earth. So, how does he describe Yeshua? As a faithful witness, firstborn from the dead. And ruler of the kings of earth. Okay, so that's going to be very important for the rest of his letter. He's setting this up, letting them know, hey, guys, grace and peace to you, and a message to you from the seven spirits before God's throne. They say, hey, what's up? How's it going? And Yeshua, the faithful witness unto death, who rose from the dead... Right? Firstborn from the dead? He's showing them something before he gets into the rest of the letter. Have you read the rest of the letter? Some of it's not cool. Mm-hmm. Right? So he's letting them know, even though it's not cool physically, there's another perspective that he's going to unveil or uncover for them so they can understand what they're going through and why they're going through it. It's like reading the book of Ephesians. Your husband's not your problem. Your wife's not your problem. Your kids ain't your problem. Parents, your parents ain't your problem. Your neighbor's not your problem. You wrestle with something that you can't see.
It's not flesh and blood.
And that's what he's about to tell them. But before he tells them what's going to happen to them, he has to let them know, even though this is going to happen to you, the seven spirits before the throne and Yeshua, the faithful witness that died and rose from the dead and he rules now the kings of the earth, he says hi. So before he hits them with their apocalypsos, the uncovering of who they are and how they can't hide what they're doing to the one who sees beyond the hearts and minds, he's letting them know who this message is coming from. And the way he describes them is on purpose, because he's going to then call them to do the same, to be the faithful witnesses and stuff of that. So you have to pay very close attention to how he describes him. Okay? So you have the faithful witness. First from the dead. Rulers of the kings of earth. It's going to be very important for what you're about to read next. Okay? Has anyone ever read Revelation and felt kind of scared and weird about it? Huh?
Yeah, it's weird.
You didn't understand it? But you never felt scared about it? Like,
yeah.
Oh my goodness?
Yeah, it's a little scary.
I felt scared when people interpreted it the way they did.
Okay. So we're going to walk through this together and let's see how scary it is. But he's already hitting you to try to take the fear away from you before he even tells you anything. Okay, with just those things. Okay? So, keep reading. To the one who loves us and has loosed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Isaiah 42. Yeah, he freed you.
Yeah, with his blood.
Okay, watch this. To the one who loves us, okay, he wants you to know he loves you. No matter what you're going to go through, he loves you. He's setting this up for them. To the one who loves us, who's loosed us from our sin, by his blood. How did he do it?
By his blood.
By his blood, okay? This is going to be important too. Okay?
His blood speaks on our behalf.
We're getting there. We're going to get there. Okay. By his blood, he made you a kingdom of what? Some of you guys probably have something different in here. He made you kings and priests, maybe, in some of your versions, or no? Uh-huh. You got kings and priests in
sovereigns.
Your version?
Huh? Sovereigns and Kohim.
Okay. What do you get that from? Huh?
Made of sovereigns and co.
Where have you ever read in your Bible?
Right at the very beginning.
At the very beginning, he made you in his image and in his likeness, and you were to have what on the earth? Dominion over the earth. Right? You were supposed to be a priest of that garden. You were supposed to tend and guard it. Right? Keep it. And then, after they messed up, we have the Moses experience on the mountain with all the congregation of Israel. And he says in Exodus 19, you're supposed to be what?
Priests.
A king of the priests, right? So, he said by his blood, he's made them a kingdom of priests. He's trying to reverse the curse of Adam and Eve from the very beginning when they gave their authority to that snake, that nechash in the garden. Right? God gave them dominion over everything on earth, including that thing. But then they let that thing control them. So by his blood, he came and loosed us from that nechash. So now we can be priests and kings over that thing again. By his blood. That's going to be important. Okay? You'll see here in a second. He said, To him be glory and power forever and ever. So in those three little sentences, there's four quotes of your Hebrew Bible that he quoted. How many of you guys understand that John is saturated in his Hebrew Bible? You will not understand the book of Revelation on your own if you do not know a majority of the Hebrew Bible and what those prophets were saying. There's about 173 quotations in the book of Revelation from your Hebrew Bible. Okay? So you're going to have to know what Isaiah was saying, what Ezekiel was saying, what Zechariah was saying, and the book of Psalms was saying a lot. Okay? And Daniel. And you're going to have to know the Exodus, because he's going to hit him with that stuff too. Okay? This guy, he lived and breathed this thing. And his readers, he anticipated that they lived and breathed this too. And everything he wrote, he thought that they would understand it, not only biblically, but also in first century culture. Because he writes a lot about their culture in that day too. Okay? So, you guys ready? He's going to quote more scripture, verse 7. This is him, he's quoting scripture here. Behold, he's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, and even they who had pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn on account of him. Yes, indeed, amen. He's not prophesying to them about something they don't know. Okay? Has anyone ever read Zechariah before? Yeah? Have you ever read chapter 12 of Zechariah before? Do you know what it says? The very thing you just read. Yeah. but not only that, has anyone ever read Daniel before? Daniel chapter 7? Do you know what it says? Yeah, is what you just read. He put two different quotes, one from Daniel and one from Zechariah, and he put them together in quotations. Don't you love him?
Pretty clever.
He put the word and put it in a blender and hit brrr, and he put it in his scripture for you. Okay? So, how are you guys feeling so far, okay?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Verse 8. I am the Aleph and the Tav, or the beginning and the end, right? Says the Lord God, the one who is, the one who was, and the one who's coming. And how does your verse finish on that one? This is cool.
The Almighty.
Yours says the Almighty?
Mine says two.
Interesting. Does anyone ever, does anyone says the one who is, the one who was, and the one who's coming, the Lord of hosts? Anyone have that version? The being things again. What do you mean by the being things?
The Lord of hosts.
The Lord of hosts, yeah. What does it mean to be the Lord of hosts? But someone read their version. Who has their version? The end of verse 8. Anybody want to read it real quick?
Sure.
Before I answer her Lord of Hosts, go ahead.
Who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty.
The Almighty. It's an interesting translation. No footnote or nothing on that?
Nope, but it's in red, so she was said it.
Sarah. It's awfully early in the week, Sarah.
She did get rid of her rocks.
Okay. But everyone has the Almighty on that one. Interesting. Okay.
If I do, hold on.
Huh?
Hold on. I got my glasses on.
Yours says El Shaddai. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
What does yours say?
I have about six versions on my phone. You want me to check them all?
Yeah. Check all your versions.
Let's hear them all.
Because typically the Almighty, El Shaddai, is only used in the context of children or the seed of Abraham.
Interesting.
The only time El Shaddai ever shows up is when Abraham can't have a baby, El Shaddai shows up. Ooh. When Isaac can't have a baby, El Shaddai shows up. When, who's the other one? Goodness.
Hannah?
Yeah. It's basically when there's infertility, it's always invoking El Shaddai. This is why when he comes to Moses and them, he goes, yeah, they knew me as El Shaddai, but not as Yahweh. But what he's saying is not nothing but a name. Mm-hmm. He's saying my character. I came to them as the one to give children because they all couldn't have children. But I don't come to you. You all have a bunch of children because look what happened to you in Egypt. I come to you as the one who's going to save you. Wow. Right? Not the one who's going to give you children because that's why Pharaoh's trying to kill you because you got too much babies. Wow. So it's just interesting that I've never heard the version that said El Shaddai in this one. Because my version doesn't say that. Mine says Yahweh Sevaot. Or the Lord of Hosts. What you got?
In English, they translate it as the Almighty. But and then when it goes down into the Hebrew, it says Elohim, Lodot, Yeshua.
Interesting. So that's interesting. We'll keep reading, because I'll hit Julie's question here in a second when she comes back. Verse 9. Okay. John, I, John, your brother, and partner in affliction in the kingdom and in the patient expectation in Yeshua. I was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Yeshua. So who is this writing? Where is he at? And why is he there? Okay, John's writing.
Mm-hmm. In the island where they closed him in. He stayed there or he had to stay there?
Why is he in an island closed in? Anybody?
For the word of Yahweh.
So he's basically on this island called Patmos and he's basically saying, I'm there because of the word of God, and because of the testimony of Yeshua. So basically, I think he's saying I'm in trouble by the powers that be because I hold to the word of God and the testimony of Yeshua. So that's why I'm on the island called Patmos, which is known in history as a prison island. Okay? So, he's on a prison island because he holds to the word and the testimony of Yeshua. And he's writing a letter to his brothers in the affliction about what's going to happen to them. So this is not coming from a guy who's having dinner parties to guys who are like in prison. He's like, I am right here with you. I am suffering just like you here in this world. And let me reveal to you what's going on with us. Go ahead.
I was wrong.
You were wrong?
Well, because they start with the Hebrew.
Okay.
And then the English, so I was reading the Hebrew to the verse after.
Okay.
So it's Elohai Sevaot.
Oh, so Tanya's version in the Hebrew says it is Sevaot. That's what my version has. So thank you. Why the other ones do Almighty, I don't know. Because I've never seen that in connection with anything else other than children. So if it is Sevaot, this is something to note, because Julie said, is it those being things, is what she called them. When you hear Yahweh Sevaot, or the Lord of Hosts, what does that mean to you? Has anyone ever thought about what that means?
The Lord of Hosts.
Lord of Hosts, you're with us. This is Psalms, right? You guys ever heard that song before? Lord of Hosts, you're with us. You're with us in the fire. You're with us in the battle.
It's like a community thing.
Hosts. What's the very first object or subject in your Bible called the hosts?
The angels.
Huh?
Angels. Messengers.
So, not the very first thing. The very first thing called the hosts of heaven was the big light, the lesser light, and the stars. Okay?
Hosts of heaven, yep.
So, this is going to be interesting. He's the Lord of hosts. this is going to come together here in a second. So the Lord of hosts, the very first things ever called the hosts were the lights in the sky. But if you go reading, like David said, you're going to find that it says that he comes with the host of heaven when he comes back. So is he coming with those lights, or is he coming with beings?
Different meanings.
Watch. He's gonna hit it down here. He's gonna tell you what these are. Okay. I, John, verse 9, your brother and partner in the affliction, in the kingdom, and in the patient expectation of Yeshua, I was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Yeshua. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, saying, you must write in a scroll what you see, and you must send it to the seven congregations in Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergama, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Yes, sir.
Where were we?
Oh.
Talking about babies.
Oh, okay.
Is this during the Feast of Trumpets?
Is this Teruah? No, I don't. It doesn't say anything of that. It just says he was on the Lord's day, which could be some type of a Sabbath day, right? Because remember, he's a Jewish guy, right? He's a Jewish guy, first century. Constantine and them haven't came yet. So
well,
there's no...
Malachi talks about the day of the Lord.
So the day of the Lord started when they came out of Egypt. This is the day when Miriam and them were singing, right? Mm-hmm. So there's always been a day of the Lord in every generation. There's a day of the Lord for almost anybody, even for Israel. They had their day of the Lord moment when, I think it was Amos, Israel was corrupt, and he's like, hey, the day of the Lord's coming on you. The day of the Lord is not like coming down on Babylon. It's coming on you because you become Babylon. Ooh. And so, guess what happened? That's when Babylon came in and sent them into exile. And Amos warned them, like, remember the day of the Lord when he rescued us from Egypt? Like, well, now it's coming, and it's coming to us. We're the new Egypt, right? Okay, so he's on the Spirit in the Lord's day, and he heard a voice. And what did the voice tell him to write a letter to?
Seven churches.
To who?
The seven communities.
To the whole world?
No.
Seven churches.
What about the other congregations?
They have their own books. Thessalonians, Corinthians.
So, he's writing a letter to these guys. Mm-hmm. Seven of them. Not to all the believers on the earth at this moment. Okay? Does that mean that you can't learn nothing from
this? Are these
absolutely
non-believers, these churches?
No, these are going to, well, we're going to find out who they are. Here in a second. Yes, Julie.
I said you can learn from it.
Yeah, you can definitely learn from it, right? If David gave wisdom to his son growing up, even though that letter and that wisdom wasn't for me or for my son, doesn't mean you can't learn from it, right? So, here we go. Verse 12. I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden, what?
Lampstands,
candles,
menorah,
menorahs, lights, and in the middle of the menorah, or the light, I saw someone like a son of man, clothed to his feet and girded at his chest with a golden belt, and his head and hair were white as wool, white as snow, his eyes a flame of fire, his feet like metal more precious than gold, as heated thoroughly in a furnace, and his voice was a sound of many waters, and who had in his right hand seven stars, and there was going out from his mouth a large, sharp, two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun that shines in its power at noon. How many of you guys like imagery? Poetry? Not poetry? You like imagery? Have you guys ever had someone tell you a dream that they had before? Mm-hmm. How do you feel when someone's going on in a dream? Now, we've got different people, right? You got some people that love hearing other people's dreams. And you got other people that are like, okay, yeah, that's your dream. That was weird. That's, you know, go ahead. Are you done yet? Right? Because what? Because dreams are hard. Right? Has anyone ever tried to come and tell you a dream and like was hoping that you could interpret it for them? Is it really that easy?
It's not.
Okay. So, he's having a vision on the island of Patmos, and he's hitting you with all these images. Okay? But he's going to tell you what these images mean. So you don't have to go and try to decode them as some secret code for the future. He's going to tell you what they mean. Okay? If you can accept what they mean, because some of these are kind of wild. They're not what most modern believers will comprehend. Okay, and I'll show you what I mean here in a second when he tells us one of them. But he says, very first thing, he saw someone standing like a son of man in the middle of the seven lights. Mm. Mm. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Where else in your Bible do you have a man standing in the middle of, and like they don't have like lights, they didn't have electricity. These are burning torches. Where else in your Bible do you find someone like a man standing in the middle of a fire?
In the furnace with Shadrach,
Daniel,
and Abednego. Yep, in the furnace.
The only book of your Bible that calls Yeshua the Son of Man is the book of Daniel. Because the Son of Man only appears in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 7. When Daniel sees all these beasts coming out of the earth, it's a leopard, it's a lion, it's a bear, and then there's a super beast. He's like, I don't even know what that thing is. Never seen that thing before. Mm. And that beast goes, and he tramples on all of Yeshua's followers, and then tramples on the Son of Man, Yeshua, and then the Son of Man rises from the dead, and goes, rises to heaven, to the Ancient of Days, at his right hand, and he's given power forevermore, because he let the beast kill him. But he conquered the beast because of that, and death, and the grave, and now he's at the right hand of his Father. And that's what he's telling you. Hey, there's one like the Son of Man standing in the middle of these burning lights. How about Moses? What did he see?
Burning bush.
Well, who talked to him out of the burning bush? Right?
Yeah.
So, this guy is so embedded, even in his vision, in the Hebrew Bible, right? But he's not done, because when he quotes, tells you about what he saw about the girded belt, that's from Ezekiel, right? And it's also from Daniel chapter 10. And then his hair is white as wool, as white as snow, Daniel 7, 9. His eyes a flame of fire, Genesis 49, verse 12. His feet like metal, more precious than gold, Daniel chapter 10, verse 6. Heated thoroughly in a furnace, right? His voice like many waters, Ezekiel chapter 1 and chapter 43. Okay, here we go. He had in his right hand seven stars, and in his mouth a large two-edged sword, Isaiah 49. And his face was like the sun that shines in his power. Okay, so can you picture what he's seeing? White hair. Right, white as wool, his girded belt, his bronze feet, seven stars in a hand, a sword coming out of his mouth, standing in the middle of a fire. It is a creepy dream, a creepy vision, right? Hannah?
He looks very bright.
And he's shining very bright. Yeah. Okay? You guys like poetry? Okay. Verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell toward his feet as dead. And he placed his right hand upon me, saying, stop being afraid. I am the first and the last. Isaiah 44. And the one who is living, I died, but look, I am living. I'm living forever. I have the keys of death and what?
And
death and Sheol. Yeah, some of your Bibles didn't translate the Greek for you, and they left Hades in there. Mm-hmm. Hades is equivalent to the Hebrew Sheol. Mm-hmm. Okay? So. Correct. So he's got the keys. He's like, yeah, I was the Son of Man. I died, but I rose. And because of that, guess what I have? I got the keys to death and Sheol. So don't be afraid. It's what John is going to tell you. Okay? So he's got the keys to those places. And he says, therefore, you must write what you have seen and what's happening and what's going to happen after these things. Catch that? You must write what's going to what? Watch. You're going to write what is happening. A. Write what's happening. What is going to happen after these things. So, he's going to talk about, this is what's happening right now. Then I'll tell you what's going to happen after right now. So, keep those. Go ahead.
Three? The things you have seen. The things which are.
Right, okay, yeah.
And the things which will take place.
Yeah, so the things you write about what you've seen, the things that are, and the things that are going to take place. I like that version.
Past, present, future.
Yeah. So, you better keep up with what you're reading so you know what has happened, so you know what is happening, and then you know what's going to happen. Most people, when they read this, you know how they interpret this? Like it's none of it's happened and it's all going to happen sometime in our near future, if not today, right? Be cautious you don't do that. Okay? Here comes Miss Julie's favorite part. You ready, Julie? Verse 20. Here's the mystery. Let me tell you what my dream means so you don't have to go off down the rabbit hole. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden menorahs. The seven stars are what?
Angels. The seven churches.
The seven churches, yeah.
And the seven candlesticks.
So, angels, okay, that is also a Greek word that your translators don't translate for you. The Greek is angelos. Okay, which in Greek means messenger. Now, that word messenger is a divine being that looks like a human. They don't have wings, right? They don't have halos. They don't look like a big creature. How do you know that? No, because the book of Hebrews tells you, hey, you might be entertaining a messenger unaware. You don't even know about it. Somehow, I mean, Genesis 6 says that these things, these messengers, went into the daughters of men.
And the ladder says they go up and down.
The ladder said that you'll see them descending up and down as Jacob saw them going up and down. Lot, in his day, Sodom and Gomorrah, the men that he was trying to give his daughters to, they wanted those other men. Who those men were showed up at Abraham's tent door, and somehow Abraham knew that they were special, but yet Abraham didn't drop as dead. But when Daniel saw them, Daniel dropped as dead. So it's like these messengers have the ability to turn the notch up or dial it down to whether you know that they're one or you don't know that they're one. Just like Paul said, hey, watch out for Satan because he wraps himself like a messenger of lights. And he might sneak into your congregation. I hope that makes more sense to you. Okay? But this messenger is a star that you saw. Okay? So in the beginning, God created the heavens, right? The sky and the land. And he set the what up there in the sky? The lesser light and the greater light and the stars to what?
Yeah. To be a witness.
To rule, right? And he set us down here to to rule down here. So you had rulers of the air, and you have rulers of the earth. The host of heaven. But some of the hosts didn't stay in their own abode, right?
Is that a fallen star?
So just like you and I down here are supposed to be images of God, the lights up there, I guess the best way to say it, are supposed to be images of these messengers. They're supposed to be a reflection of the messengers. Until Yeshua comes and he becomes the rulers of the hosts of the heavens and the earth. When he disarmed them. Well, he took away their keys, right? He disarmed them. Other than before Yeshua's time, when did you ever see anyone in Israel go outside of Israel and save nations? You didn't until he came and he disarmed them in his name so you can be like Paul and go to Ephesus and start casting demons out of people. Because until then, you had principalities and powers over provinces, as he talks about in Ephesians chapter 6.
Now we don't have that?
Oh, you do?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. They creep back in, huh?
What creeps back in? No, they've been here. Now it's your time, our time, to creep into their territory and start taking over. That's what Yeshua came for. By his blood, he's loosed you from your sins. You now have power over those things, so you can go anywhere. Really meditate on this. I know it's deep, and it's probably hard to take in at first, to think that your star and your moon and all that are supposed to be a reflection of these things, of the host of heaven. The stars were the first thing called the host of heaven. But yet your biblical authors go and use that same term and use that for beings, messengers. You grasping that yet? You gonna throw that at me? We're going to read later on, because here he's telling you the stars are the messengers. Yeah. Right? And so, you ever seen a shooting star?
Yeah.
What did Jacob see on the ladder? He saw these things just doing this, right? What did Yeshua tell Nathaniel? You guys remember telling Nathaniel? He said, man, Nathaniel, there's no one just true and pure like you in all Israel. And he said, I saw you under the tree. And he was blown away. He goes, ah, if you think that's neat, just wait till you see all these beings coming up and down on me. Then you're really going to be blown away. So he told Nathaniel. So anyway, his interpretation, the stars, are these divine messengers. Yeah, we'll get into the whole cosmos when we get back into Genesis 1 on you. We'll hit the Hebrew and you'll see the connection, hopefully, when we go through it slowly when we go back into Bereshit.
Are planets divine messengers?
Well, stars are planets.
So nowhere in my Bible does it say there's planets per se. That was a later thing. But okay, let's go there. Why do all these other pagan religions worship
planets?
The planets and stars and stuff? And the
do
sun and the moon.
Do they understand that host of heavens better than we do? Because I know Mormons, you know, they're each supposed to have their own planet.
Okay.
Like if they make it to the heavenlies, then they're each supposed to own their own planet.
Yeah.
Be rulers over them.
So I guess the best way I can say is the way we're supposed to be a reflection of who our Yeshua is.
Absolutely.
Is they're supposed to be a reflection of... from the wine out.
We're going to need a little bit of time.
Yeah, you drove us to drinking. Wait, all stars are the messengers? Like, what?
I just read that.
Oh, okay.
That's the mystery.
Yeah.
Paola, you want okay. A little
homework? But here's the interesting thing. He's going to pick up on this, too. You guys ever read Revelation chapter 12?
I'm sure I have.
And what's going to be swooped out of the stars? What's going to be taken from up in... There's going to be this dragon, and he's going to get stars, bring them down. Oh, man.
Sorry.
Okay, don't jump ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, this one, chapter
She wants to finish chapter one. I can't see anymore.
I can't either.
We're almost done.
So the seven stars are messengers of the seven congregations.
Yeah, I
can't
see
seven. And the seven menorahs are the seven congregations.
What?
So each congregation has a divine messenger. You catching that?
Of Asia. We're still...
Of those seven, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So the seven stars are the seven congregations? Is that what you said?
No. The seven lights, the seven menorahs are the seven congregations.
That are in his hand, in the vision, in the dream, right?
Yes. Because he said in...
No, he said the seven lights, not the stars. Okay. Don't get the stars and the lights. He saw seven menorahs, right? He's standing in the middle of the menorahs. So there are seven lights, and he's standing inside the seven lights. So he's standing inside the seven congregations. He's standing there himself. And in the while he's standing there, he's holding seven messengers in his hand. The seven stars in his hand. So Yeshua has messengers in his hand, and each messenger is for one of the congregations that he's standing in.
Wow. That's powerful.
Yeah. So you're going through the fire, I'm standing in it with you, and not only am I there with you, I have my messengers for each of you.
Wow.
Okay. You catching that image? You good? Julie's poisoning Megan.
I thought it was tea. Oh!
Say that happened to you.
Little bitty drink, honey.
Yeah, I drink
yeah
that.
Don't swig it.
They caught me off guard.
It tastes like grape. Oh, it's so good. It tastes like grape juice.
Yeah.
Good job, Julie.
Okay, so Yeshua has the seven stars in his hands, which are for the seven churches.
Yeah, so he has the seven messengers in his hand while he's standing in the midst of the seven congregations.
Okay. Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
And remember, he's got a sword coming through his mouth.
Ooh.
He's got that white hair, that belt, those feet, that chest, all standing there. Okay, and he's the ruler of the kings of earth. Don't forget that. No matter what the kings of earth are doing, he rules over them, and he's got these special beings in his hand. Mm. And each being is for one of you.
We mean one of you. You mean one of each congregation?
Yeah.
Okay. But you said you.
No. Well, I mean, it could.
Your
congregation could have its own messenger. Just saying. Don't know.
Okay.
I do know that when Yeshua says that whenever we, like there's an outcast, there's like a, you know, ever had like an outcast person in your group?
Yes.
And
Me.
And the group kind of runs them off. Yeshua says, man, it's their messenger. They come before God every night. So you better watch out how you treat these outcast people, because far be it from you if it's you that's causing them to run away from my congregation, from my people. So just the whole messenger thing. I know it's hard in our modern world to think that when you look up in the skies that you live in an interdimensional world of supernatural and ordinary, what we call ordinary. Mm. But look at page one of your Bible. Mm. Who is in the garden? Who is she talking to? Mm. So what he's about to show them is, you think what you're going through in this life is practical? Think again, it's more supernatural than you think. That's what he's hitting them with. Like, all you can see from your perspective is the hurt, the affliction, the oppression, and they're trying to take your freedoms away. But let me hit you with God's perspective. The one who's standing in your midst with these beings.
Wow.
Right there. And that should automatically trigger you all the way back to Daniel. When Daniel was praying and there was wars going on with Darius and Persia and Alexander the Great was coming in. And Daniel was like reading Jeremiah 25 and he's like, the 70 years of exile are up. I was a teenager. I'm now in my 80s. God, is it time? And this 21 days of fasting, fruits and veggies or whatever, this being shows up in his room. And he drops like dead. And that being tells him, I heard your prayer since the first day, but it took me 21 days to fight with the prince of Persia. Yes,
to get here.
Now, was he really talking about Darius?
No. Principality.
He was talking about the one who controls Darius.
Mm-hmm, the spiritual.
And he's like, there's only two of us here.
Wow.
And don't worry, Daniel. But Israel, they haven't learned their lesson. So it's not 70 years, as Jeremiah 25 says. It's actually 70 times 7. So you go to bed. Go to sleep. Write the, you know. And we'll see you in the afterlife. And conceal the book until the end. I got to go back. And two of us are going to bring Alexander the Great in. And just us two beings are going to make Alexander really great. You guys are going to see Alexander the Great, but according to your Bible, it's really God's two messengers.
Wow.
So Yeshua tells Peter in a garden, Peter, put your sword down.
Mm.
The only sword that swings in a garden is my fiery sword. Put your sword down.
Mm.
If I wanted to fight, I would bring
legions
of messengers down to do this.
Wow.
Not just one or two, like in Daniel's day. Mm. I'll bring a legion of them down.
Wow, 10,000. Wow.
Okay, so are we good on the messenger thing? We're going to touch it again.
So.
They show up a lot in this book. And then their counterparts, the creatures, show up too. And we'll distinguish between the two. But you good, Julie? You got any more questions? You don't know?
Yeah, no, it's good.
You're good? Okay. So that was chapter one, wasn't it?
That was chapter one. We wrapped it up.
Okay. How you guys doing? You guys doing okay?
Sarah doing okay.
Sarah, you doing okay?
Good on chapter one so far? Yeah?
What'd you say?
You guys doing good? Any questions on it?
Good.
You guys have any questions or comments on chapter one before we go to chapter two? I don't know if I'll do it tonight.
I can't see. She's so brave.
Yeah, she's brave.
Back in the day.
I know, that's what I was doing.
Go ahead.
Seven stars. He's carrying his hand.
Scarlet.
Can I see seven stars to address the seven churches with
these
seven stars?
Yeah. So,
and these seven stars are like good things, right? Or no?
Because watch how look at chapter 2, verse 1.
Yeah.
Who is the letter 2?
Seven
churches. No. Read verse 1 of chapter 2. Who is it to?
Oh.
Chapter 2.
The angel of the church of Ephesus.
To who?
The angel of the church of Ephesus.
To the angel.
Who's who?
To the angel of the church. Right.
So it must be the one that's got the power.
Wait, so he's not writing to the congregation? Who is he writing? He's writing to the messenger.
Wow. To give a message to the church.
Uh-huh. Wait.
The messenger or the messengers?
Now, this one, there's only one messenger per congregation.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So there's one divine being per congregation.
No, this is for the church of Ephesus.
Yeah, number.
Just one church.
So he's in
chapter 2, verse 1. Now.
One angel, because it's one messenger for the church, for one church.
So, John's on the island of Patmos, getting a word from Yeshua, who got it from his father, who John's supposed to write a letter to a being, a messenger, so the messenger could bring the revelation to the congregation.
Okay.
Did you?
One messenger going around to all those 700.
No. One messenger per church.
See, you already cut off.
The angel of
no more drinks for you tonight.
Thank you. You're welcome.
So there's seven congregations, and there's seven spiritual beings, the messengers. One being for each congregation. Got it? So, John, the first one, he's writing to the messenger of the congregation in Ephesus. You must write. Okay? The one who holds the seven stars in his right hand. The one who walks among the seven golden menorahs says these things. So this is the messenger. How many of you really understand your Bible because you think you're smart, or because you think your preacher or pastor or whatever is smart?
No.
Or how many of you think it's because somehow, yes, some supernatural way, yes, it's been revealed to you?
Amen. There you go. Yep.
Okay. Holy Spirit does. And how does the Holy Spirit do it? Well, apparently the seven spirits also have a divine being there. This is weird, right? So you have God, you have Yeshua, you have seven spirits, and then you got divine beings.
Wow.
Like, think about it. This gets really intense. So you look at Moses' day. How did Moses know better than the rest of Israel? They all had the Torah.
Yeah.
He had the Spirit.
Yes.
Wow.
But in the very beginning, it tells you, in the beginning, God spoke His Word, but also there, hovering over the darkness, was the Spirit. Okay? So it gets even deeper, though. Okay? So when Spirit comes down, right, to the disciples, or to Solomon, or to Joshua, why do they also need these beings to show up and talk to them? Like Philip. Take Philip, for example. Philip is full of the Holy Spirit, and he hears the Holy Spirit say, hey, go down to Gaza. So he goes down to Gaza Strip, and when he's there, there's a being that shows up to him and says, go to that chariot. How come the Spirit just couldn't tell him that? Why did a messenger have to show up?
Spirits don't speak English.
Yeah,
do they not speak our language? Any language on earth? They have spiritual language only?
Why did beings have to show up to Abraham at his tent door when he's been hearing from God?
Quit asking more questions. Answer those other ones.
That's right, Rosie.
So what was the question, Rosie?
Go, Rosie. I'm already forgot. Like, wait.
No, I'm not testing. I'm trying to get your brain thinking.
I'm asking, is Yahweh testing them to see if they're going to be obedient to the messenger that the Spirit has sent? Are they just seeing?
What is he? Yeah, why do? Why
like
do?
Like how Abraham had to go through all those.
So, like in our congregations today, how many of you guys were taught that there might be a messenger in your congregation?
Never.
Or that in your daily life, you might be walking and talking with a spiritual being.
Entertaining.
Yeah, in the Word.
According to Paul, Paul's like, this happens all the time.
Wow.
He's like, you entertain them unaware, right? Uh-huh. Or watch out, because there are some of these guys that wrap themselves up as an angel of light, but really, man, they're there to destroy your congregation. And he's like, this is not a person. These are beings. They look like you and me.
Wow.
Well, what do you think? Like, you meet somebody, they give you a message, and then you find out they never existed, or does this person exist?
Well, here's the tricky part, is Paul says that there are some messengers that will try to take you off track, which is why he says there's not height or depth or breadth or width, nor principalities, nor messengers or angels that can separate me from the love of God. Right?
Yep. Wow.
So, they're both. there's good messengers and there's not good messengers. Or there actually are some that just wrap themselves up as good ones and they're really not. So yeah, I mean, it's a touchy subject. I don't know everything about them and how they work or anything, but I'm just going off of some of the things that I read in my Bible, like.
So are you saying beings are messengers?
Well, I'm trying to distinguish that when I say messenger, I'm not just talking about someone running a message, like a normal person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's from the Lord.
Yeah, I'm trying to talk about, like, it's a, these messengers that they're talking about, they look like us. Sometimes you know that they're not one of us, because somehow they have the ability to show you that they're not one of us, like Daniel dropped dead. But then there's sometimes that you could just be talking to one, and according to the writer of Hebrews, you don't even know that it's one. How that works, I don't know. I'm not like the expert on that, I can't tell you, but I'm just trying to glean from what I've read here so far.
Maybe next year.
Yeah. So.
Can I share something?
Absolutely.
So a couple of years ago, in October, I was at with Tina, and we were. I talk too soft.
I gotta come down here and hear you.
Oh, sorry. So I'm telling them the story what happened to me when I went to Tina for that red heifer. There was like a fundraiser, and there's this. At the end, we had prayer. And I close my eyes, I'm trying to pray, but I see a vision, like a movie, like TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, when the man said amen, I said to God, Lord, what was that about? Because this is ridiculous. Like, why did I see what I just saw? It was so, kind of like something like this. Fire, all this stuff. And then this lady taps me on the shoulder and says, God gave me a word for you. So I turn around, it's a round table, and I'm looking at her.
You've never met her
and
before.
Never met her before. The first thing she explains was part of my vision. So then to me, I'm like, was that just so I could pay attention? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
Interesting.
You know, because she wouldn't have known. She kind of, and a lot of that stuff happened.
Yeah,
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about... Hagar, you know, this poor girl gets violated by her masters, you know, because they just don't trust in God. So they hear Hagar, you know, and that poor girl gets treated illy. So she wants to escape and she runs away and she's met in the wilderness by who? A messenger. And so what I think is what John is trying to tell these congregations early on and before he even hits them with who they are and some of the things that they're doing wrong. Is like this life is more spiritual and connected with God in a supernatural way than you've ever dreamed or imagined. Like from the very page of your Bible when the woman's talking to this Nahash, you got to understand that what you're up against. And not just what you're up against, but who's also with you. Even though he's a evil one, right? There's these righteous ones that God has in his hand for you and your congregation.
Praise God.
Right?
So do you think we get too caught up in this physical world? Because we're in a physical world, so we get too caught
Okay. So, a lot of my brothers who I love, I think they have it wrong when they talk about this walk as, oh, I gave into the flesh. I gave into the flesh. When I read my Bible... I see Eve had an influencer over her, which is why she did that.
Sure. She wouldn't have done it if she hadn't had an influence over her, right?
Okay, right. So that right there, okay. And then when you look at sin, I don't think a sin is this something you do. Sin to me is a beast. It's an animal because God describes him to Cain. Sin is crouching at your door.
Yes.
God himself personifies sin as a being. And not as just something that you do.
Wow.
It's a being that is at your door, ready to devour you. It's crouching.
Yeah.
How can I get David today?
And he said it to Peter too.
Yeah. He says, Satan wants to sift you like wheat. So when Peter messed up, it wasn't Peter in himself doing that. Satan was trying to sift him.
He had an influencer. But he had an influencer, but you still had to choose, right? You have the right to choose.
Genesis 6, when all the people's hearts were bent on evil, it wasn't just the people there. What does it tell you what was happening in that day? Where B'nai Chai Elohim, the sons of God, were coming into the daughters of men, and because of whatever was going on, caused that.
Yeah,
it was something up there trying to mix with something down here that caused the people's hearts to be all evil. There was an
influence. Excessive influencers during that time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is why.
Even just one influencer.
Even today.
During the, before the flood, was excessive influencers.
Yes.
Influencing.
But they're still here today.
They're still here today, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But the difference today is Yeshua's came, and because he let the beast trample him, he has authority everywhere now over everything, which by his name, you can go anywhere. And the way Babylon infiltrated his garden, you now take his kingdom and you invade Babylon until the whole world, all the stars, all the like the multitude of the stars or the sand of the sea are all his people. Because the book of Revelation you're going to read is not about the end of the world. It's about the beginning of a renewed world. Where all creation finally got to see the revealing of the sons of God. Romans chapter 8. Because read Romans chapters 9, 10, 11, 12. Paul tells you what the end looks like. The end doesn't look like a few Christians hanging on. Everyone else is dead and you know this place is burning and there's only two or three of us left. You read Paul's letter to Romans, and he's like, man, what's going to happen is God cut off the natural branch, bringing in, grafting in this other branch, and this branch is going to make the natural branch come back because they're jealous. And he goes, and when they cry out to the fullness, the Gentiles are to reach their fullness, then the Jews are going to come in their fullness, and then he's going to come back when you have all the nations and all the Jews say Yeshua is the Messiah, and boom, then he's coming back. It's the biggest awakening you're ever going to see in your life before he comes back. It's not destruction and gloom. It's revival and awakening. No, so Armageddon's a place, and we'll get there. It's not a war. It's a place. And we'll get to that when we get there.
So that's Revelation.
What?
What you just said.
Yeah, it's all revelation. Like, if you learn something new, you get a revelation. If I ever go and I say, Veronica, I need to know, am I doing anything wrong? Can you see me doing anything wrong? What I'm asking her to do is give me a revelation of myself that I can't see. So this is what John is doing to these congregations. He's going to come down and he's going to give them an apocalypsos. He's going to reveal to them what's happening in their life?
Have they asked for it?
Whether you ask for it or not, it's coming.
I don't know. I'm just asking if they ask for it. Were they at the place where, like,
sure?
I said they probably didn't ask for it.
Some of them probably did. Some of them probably didn't. I'm going to assume they were asking God what's going on. Because at this time, when this letter's written, there's debates on it. But this is somewhere around the time that Nero has already destroyed. Like, Rome is burning, and Domitian is in. If you guys know your history, Domitian was not very friendly, especially to these congregations of Yeshua's followers. Okay? And it's not just against Yeshua's followers. It's also against just anything religious that was anti-Rome. Okay? And Domitian and these guys, they were not happy campers. Okay? Because even right before this, you even had Titus, who went and destroyed the temple. Okay? So, life as a believer in their day, it was pretty rough. Like, it wasn't for the faint-hearted. Okay? So, these guys had already fled all the way out to Asia Minor. Okay? And they were being persecuted, and John's trying to give them a heavenly perspective on their earthly situation, because anyone ever been through an earthly situation that really sucked? Yeah, I mean, almost if you lived life for a while, he's like, okay, that's not cool. And he's kind of come and hit you with like, hey, let me show you from God's perspective. Let me give you an example. Job. Okay? Job was never told about what, why things happen in his life the way they happen. We know what happened, right? There is this influencer who is coming before God, right? The adversary comes before him and he's like, and God's like, hey, what are you doing? Oh, just going to and fro throughout the earth, you know? And he's like, well, have you considered Job?
Oh, wow.
He's like, Job, no, why? He goes, oh, that's my boy. There is nobody like Job in all the earth. And Satan's like, ah, he only loves you because you give him stuff. God's like, nah, take it away from him. And he'll still worship me. He's like, nope, take it away and he'll curse you to your face. Watch. So everything Job ever had was taken away from him in a moment. And the Bible says, in all this, Job did not curse God. Huh? Interesting. He didn't even know. He didn't even have to know why things were happening. How many of you would sit down and try to figure out, this really happened because God didn't want her to suffer, or this to happen, or he knew that one day my heart would go after that one piece of shiny thing, or like we come up with some interesting reasons of why God does what he does in our life. Anyone ever heard or been?
Come and say, what are you doing wrong? You're doing something.
So that's what Job's friends did to him, right? Job just doesn't happen out of nowhere. You got some type of secret sin that you're hiding from us. But yet, the conversation in heaven was, that's my boy. There's nobody like him in all the world.
Wow. That's because he knew his heart.
Well, he
was really...
Right.
His heart was for the Lord.
So what I'm saying is Job had no idea what was going on in his life, why that was happening.
Mm-hmm. But he still gave thanks and praise.
So what I guess what I'm trying to say, what John is saying here is there's way more to your life than what you see is going on.
Yes, for sure.
And he wants you to understand that.
Mm. Wow.
There are beings, there's messengers that you probably see on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, whether you know it or not. There's the Spirit, right? There's Yeshua. There's these hosts, good and bad, all around you. According to Jacob, even in his day, they go up and down every day. Yeshua even tells you, hey, it'd be better if a millstone wrapped around your neck and you cause one of these little ones to fall because their messenger sees me every day.
Oh, wow. Telling on you. Yeah, he knows everything. Wow.
So, he's trying to tell you there's more to what's happening in your life than the physical. You have to realize that, and you have to start getting heaven's perspective over your earthly situation rather than trying to make up your own formula for why you think it's going happening to you. Okay, so that's what apocalyptic literature is all about. Is someone giving you heaven's perspective over the world situation or your country situation or your city situation or your own personal life. Okay? You guys cool? You want to keep reading a little bit more? Are you guys good with that?
Good.
You tell me. You're good right there?
Yep.
All right.
It's a good start.
Okay, so tomorrow we'll try to start a little bit earlier. And we will get after it. So, would I have anybody like to pray us out of here tonight? Or at least not out of here, but at least.
We have one dance.
Okay.
We'll have another dance.
Are you volunteering to pray, Julie?
Oh, okay.
All right.
Thank you for your word and your spirit and Yeshua, your son.
he did for us. And I just pray that we all get a good night's sleep tonight and be rested for tomorrow. We just get it together and be unified and just enjoy your presence and one another. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.